Who is Cole Kublik?
No idea.
This could be trouble.
Now with the call, Cole Kublik.
Auburn.
We just talked to Cole Kublik a little while ago.
You watch him now on the screen.
It's bad ball. It's bad football.
That was Jim Bellett, number 61.
I get.
Speak up, please.
Get you some of that, Jalen Tabor.
Is that good enough for you?
I'm almost embarrassed.
You can be miserable, but they are going to be miserable with you.
I said what I said.
We have to score.
What an exciting time in America.
And here he is, having the time of his life.
Don't clap. That could be tough. Don't clap.
Give it to Henry. Running to the left. He turns the corner. He's got the first down. Henry down the sidelines. 40, 50, 40. 30, 20, 10, 5, end zone, touchdown, Titans, Derrick Henry, 72 yards for the exclamation point, streak over, jubilation, Nissan Stadium.
Honestly, what was the streak? I don't know.
Really? The Titans hadn't beaten the Colts since 2011.
Oh, good for them.
Yeah.
That's
a long time ago.
Poor indictment on your football team, based on what the Colts have had and have been. So,
well, 2011 is a long time away, and it's over. Jubilation at Nissan Stadium.
I was jubilated. Henry has a big night, 19 for 131. Look how big.
He's a very big boy.
Titans pick up the win. Now 3-3 on the season. 2-4 for the Indianapolis Colts. Three-way tie atop the AFC South, which means there's probably really just no good teams in that division.
Fair. Well, I don't know. Still trying to figure out what Houston is.
Oh, yeah. They had to figure it out with their new quarterback after their linebacker got suspended for PEDs.
Well,
so
things happen, you know. Probably wrongfully accused.
I mean, that team last night, I mean, they get T.Y. Hilton the ball one time.
Okay. Yeah, this is
going to be good for the Colts. Jacoby Brissett's running around trying to do things, and that's just not going to work. It's a I guess Ryan Kelly looked better. He's back. So, yeah, I don't really know what to make of that football team. I'm not even sure what they're going to be when Andrew Luck gets back.
Did you hear
they're banking on Frank Gore.
Okay, honestly, they're not good.
You just got to wonder, what are you even doing through the draft? There's not even a handful of young guys that look like they're going to be heavy contributors soon. Most of the guys that are working for you were solid pickups late. I mean, Jack Doyle's out of Western Kentucky.
Yeah, Jack Doyle.
I mean, it's like Hilton was a first rounder. That's just it's strange to watch, honestly.
Did you hear the latest on Andrew Luck? Is they're going to quote pick up the practice pace this week?
Well, yeah, they might have to go up tempo because they're going to be trailing so much.
Pick up the practice tempo.
36-22 is your final last night, Monday Night Football in Nashville. So that was pretty cool. You heard it right here on the Ump. This was a fairly predictable weekend in the NFL, maybe outside from a couple teams out west. The Giants go to Denver and get a win.
Yeah, that would go with unpredictable.
I don't know how crazy the Chargers over the Raiders was, 17-16, just because the Raiders have not been what a lot of people thought they were going to be.
Well, you know, Derek Carr's broken.
The Rams.
Boy, he's about to become the next, former Oklahoma quarterback.
Sam Bradford?
Bradford, yeah. A couple straight years, just he'll turn into a Tony Romo guy, too. That's not good precedent set there for Derek Carr.
The Rams keep scoring points, 27-17 over the Jags. Nice win for the Steelers over the Chiefs. You mentioned the Texans. They take out the Browns. Browns still winless.
Well, at least we got one of those teams left.
Bears continue to show some life, knocking off the Ravens.
The Ravens may be the most confusing team in the league this year.
Well, they didn't have Flacco. Now they have Flacco, and Can't find a way to close that game out against the Bears. They took the lead late. Then the Bears sent it to overtime and get a field goal in OT to sort of slam the door on Baltimore. 49ers still winless?
Yes. At least the 49ers had a little fight in them, you know, against Washington.
Yeah.
Like, they were looking to come back and almost... Well, they had the ball last, and they were kind of driving. They were near midfield.
Injuries probably the story of this NFL weekend. What is Green Bay going to be now as they go down to the Vikings without Aaron Rodgers? Maybe for the rest of the season. They're 4-2, as are the Vikings. But now Green Bay's got to figure out what to do with their quarterback situation. The Buccaneers go down to Arizona. Adrian Peterson looks pretty good. 26 for 134. Yeah, I'd say that's pretty good. But Jameis Winston leaves the game. Injury to his throwing shoulder. What will they be without Winston for a set amount of time? So we've already talked about how injuries have been a huge part of this NFL season so far. And that trend sort of continues. And we are approaching a serious quarterback conundrum across this league. It's almost like if you got your guy, you're probably going to be in contention for a playoff spot. If you can just keep your dude healthy, you're going to be in good shape. And some teams can, some teams can't. But the Giants can keep their guy healthy, just nobody else on the team seems to be healthy.
It may be the greatest thing that happened to the Cowboys this weekend, which is not play. Mainly because they would have probably gotten somebody broken this weekend. They've already had one of their linemen that retire, and the Ezekiel Elliott news, even though there's now reports that he will be able to play because they still have to have the, I guess, the arbitration heard, or the mediation heard. So until then, he can't, will the judge lift the injunction. So just a crazy, it's a wild weekend. We're just going to gloss over the fact that the only undefeated team left in the NFL was beaten by your Steelers.
Yeah.
It's bragging rights, Cole. You beat the only undefeated team left. You did it, Cole.
I just felt it's one of those games that you watch and you feel like it could have been so different. I feel like Pittsburgh could have really handled that game and been in better control of that game and just sort of couldn't figure out a way to really slam the door late. You know, turnovers from Roethlisberger, still a bit of an issue. That's concerning for me. And another interception. But, you know, you got Le'Veon Bell going a little bit. You got Antonio Brown going a little bit. Martavis Bryant wants a trade. So, figure it out. But it's a nice win.
Hold on. Just figure.
I don't know what they're going to do with him.
Hey, can we?
What's someone going to give up for him? Like a free agent selection?
Can we
trade for that?
In the Audible coming up in the next segment, I have him responding to those reports of him wanting a trade. That'll be coming up in the next segment. But can we don't need to gloss over the fact that the Titans just won a big game of Monday Night Football. And Marcus Mariota was perfection in the fourth quarter. It's like 6 of 6 with a touchdown. And they ice away the game. They finally start scoring touchdowns. Cole, there were 9 field goals in the first 3 quarters of that game last night. That was a hard one to watch if you wanted offense.
Playing that Gus Malzahn game plan.
Yeah, they were. A lot of field goals in the first 3 quarters between both of these teams. Ryan Succop goes 5 of 5, and everyone looks at old Mike Mularkey and says, "Hey, where are these touchdowns we wanted? We kind of, you know, we got the what they call them, the Flying Hawaiian? What they call them?
Yeah,
Marcus Mariota.
I think that's it.
They're like, my goodness, we need some points, and then they finally get into the end zone about midway through the or early in the fourth quarter with DeMarco Murray, and then Derrick Henry icing away. King Henry. By the way, I was listening to a highlight package that was happening on the old internet earlier. It said Derrick Henry. Remember him, Heisman? He looked big in college. Doesn't look so big in the NFL anymore. It's like still looks big.
Still a pretty big dude.
Hasn't gotten smaller. And he's not shorter or less thick. He is a legitimately big old boy.
I mean, he's
people are weird.
He's obviously not, bigger than some of the linemen on the
teams
he's playing
against.
Sure,
he's not Joe Thomas or Taylor Lewan or something like that. Obviously, different teams there. But you're not supposed to be that big if you're a running back. And how about that quarterback battle last night? Marcus Mariota versus Jacoby Brissett. Highlight real stuff, man.
Wow.
Highlight real stuff. And credit to the Titans defense, by the way. That don't bend, don't break thing worked a lot last night. Didn't give up, but I think was it just one touchdown on one touchdown offense. Yeah, one
I
touchdown
believe so,
on
yeah.
offense, and one was a pick six thrown by Mariota. But Titans win, man. Something they needed. And you know who they have this weekend? Cleveland. Yeah, time to lick them wounds. Get yourself a big win and then take on a team that doesn't know how to win anymore.
There you go. All right, let's get to 10 After Tweets, brought to you by First Family Mortgage. Before we do, Barrett Salee coming up at 6:40, talks some SEC football. Bo Mattingly, sports talk radio host in Arkansas, joins us at 7 a.m. Mike Griffith of SECCountry.com at 7:40. James Spady will be with us at 8:20 this morning to talk Alabama A&M football. So a lot to get to still today. Stay tuned, and we'll bring it to you. Let's get to 10 After Tweets now.
Bring me the tweet!
Brought to you by First Family Mortgage. Go to 1FMC.com. Grant Ramey tweets, Tennessee-Alabama Lions during the Butch Jones era. 2013, Bama minus 27.5. 14, Bama minus 19.5. 15, Bama minus 14.5. 16, Bama minus 14.
Getting better.
17, Bama minus 34.
Oh, got a lot worse. Got a lot worse in that one year.
Pretty big jump there. Pretty big jump. Chris Lowe tweets, LSU's Ed Orgeron told me the Ole Miss game is just another game because, quote, the truth is, the whole time I was there, I was wishing I were here.
I bet Ole Miss fans feel the same way.
The Associated,
I kinda wish you were there too.
The Associated Press tweet 16 hours ago, breaking!
Oh, geez, a lot of breaking stuff.
Louisville officially fires Rick Pitino weeks after acknowledging basketball program investigated amid federal scandal.
What? Why wasn't this a bigger story?
They had to wait a few weeks.
You okay with that?
Well, I mean,
I hate legalese, man. Yeah. I hate legal contract stuff. I
hate it. It's kind of silly.
I hate it. I hate it. You knew it was dirty. You knew you could fire him. You had to wait.
This is weird. SEC Network tweets, Georgia's 7-0. The last four times Georgia started 7-0. 2005, won SEC title. 2002, won SEC title. 1982, won SEC title. 1980, won SEC and national title.
I feel like we're predicting something, or...
Things.
Don't just say it's just a tweet. There's some foreshadowing there.
Bubba Bates 71 tweets, since 1981, Auburn is now 94-3 in games they scored at least 23 by the half. Two losses have come under at Coach Gus Malzahn.
Okay, listen, I get it. Auburn's going to fire Gus Malzahn. I get it. Ed Titans tweets, the Monday night game ball. Hashtag Mariota Monday. And attached a photograph from Mike Mularkey giving Marcus Mariota the game ball. Emoji football. Emoji hang loose sign. Yeah, hang loose, baby.
Yeah, bro.
The flying Hawaiian.
Yeah.
Tell me I'm lying. Ain't no denying the flying Hawaiian. My whole job should be coming up words that rhyme. Don't act like he ain't trying. You'd be denying the flying Hawaiian. Leave them Colts crying. Oh, yeah, it was just his fourth 300-yard, by the way, a good game last night. Fourth 300-yard passing game last night of his career.
It's a young career, and he's been injured.
Yeah, but it sort of felt like last year was sort of a coming-out party. And you would think, you know, this being his was his third year now, that he would have had, you know, maybe a few more where the league is gone. But he's not had quite the weaponry that he has had this year. Plus, he had some big plays last night.
Mark Burnett tweets, Damian Harris leads the SEC and is fifth in the nation with 9.19 yards per carry. He's averaging 11.2 yards per carry in SEC play.
9.19.
Whoa.
So what you're saying is that's basically a first down ever run.
Yeah.
There's no need for a second down run.
The scary part is 9.19 yards per carry is fifth in the nation.
Well, I don't know who's in the top five, but I'm guessing maybe, I don't know, it may be taken down by the sacks. That quarterback at Arizona who's going nuts in the last couple of games.
Yeah, I don't know if he would have enough carries to qualify, but possibly. I know Bryce Love's, I think, one.
Yeah, Bryce Love would make sense because that's all he does is break big runs.
You were right. Khalil Tate out of Arizona. Now, granted, only 39 attempts. 16.5 yards per carry? It's decent. Bryce Love, 10.3. Kel Walker out of Army, 9.3. Damian Harris, 9.2.
But Damian Harris is actually, you know, a football player. The guys are just fancy boys out west and stuff.
Excuse me?
Bobby Barnett tweets, breaking, Penn State colors used to be pink and black. Hashtag before my time. I think hashtag before everyone's time. Tide fan 2164 T-Bird tweets, Georgia gonna win the SEC being 7-0. Quote, but Bama. Trophy Nuts adds at Cube Show. Did Ed Arkishate just read his own rap? That's right. It's called Hawaiian Flying. Ain't no denying. He's electrifying.
Brett McMurphy tweets, UAB and Coach Bill Clark working on long-term contract extension. Clark's current deal through June 2020.
I feel like he's got a solid contract as it is, but I mean, you go 4-2 when you're not supposed to have a competitive football team, at least some people thought. Let me ask you this. Do you think there's a lot of people that thought this UAB team wouldn't be that good? And I was kind of being skeptical because I thought, hey, USC would get destroyed by sanctions and they wouldn't be competitive, and they still had competitive teams. Thought Penn State, they would completely cripple that program with the scholarship losses.
Yes.
Didn't really destroy that program at all, and it did help that they got their scholarships back a few years later.
Wait a minute. Who didn't think that?
No.
Like, who stepped back and said, no, they're going to be fine. And it's going to be maybe a down year or two, and they'll be fine. Everyone thought they were going to be miserable for a decade.
And then UAB has this issue where they don't have a football team for 2 years.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they're 4-2.
You know what it is.
Right. Yes.
UAB's well-rested.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
It's fresh legs, man.
You guys got fresh legs, man.
I think more programs are going to start taking 2 years off.
Hey, Auburn, you need to take a couple years off, by the way, right? What I'm watching there. But do you think that has...
We'll be better in the fourth quarter.
I'm starting to lean on a theory that the reason, and that's not so much the case, is that the players that do play football at a high level, to play at the FBS schools and even play at UAB, even though, yes, that's definitely an FBS school too, they're a lot better athlete than what we're expecting. They're a lot better football players, even those levels, to be able to be competitive and win games in your own conference than probably we were giving them credit for.
Yeah.
Like, these things that we think are going to cripple teams don't really cripple teams anymore. It's not like UAB went out and scheduled cupcakes to get up to 4-2. I mean, they're winning several. What, I think they got two or three conference wins right now.
I hate to say it, but you know one thing that plays a major part in it.
Uh-oh. I know you don't like this.
Transfer.
It's
reality.
It is reality.
It's where we are in today's football.
Transfer sit out of season. Never play football.
So do some teams, but...
Hmm.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back... Oh, who do we have? I don't know.
Oh, sorry. I may not read it. That's Josh. I want to ask you a question.
Good morning, Josh. How you doing?
Hey, good, Cole. How you doing, man? Good morning. I'm sure you read it. I read Nosa Igwe's response to Heath Evans last night, and he mentioned how he's kind of using Auburn to boost up a coaching career, and the same thing happened in 2012 with a radio broadcasting career, and I was wondering if you might know who he's talking about.
No, he's talking about Heath using a – Heath basically did – he was very outspoken about the Chizik firing, and I believe Nosa is saying that Heath used that – to boost his broadcasting career, which Heath had already been doing it a year before that on the NFL Network. And now he's using it to try and springboard a coaching career. So,
okay. I thought he was talking about two different people. Two
no, he's talking about Heath both times.
I was kind of curious. For a second there, I thought he might have been talking about you. And I said, I was thinking, I've been listening to him a little longer in 2012.
No, Nosa and I are cool.
So I don't know. I was just kind of confused, and I figured you might know.
No, Nosa and I are good. He's a good dude.
Oh, humble.
Right on.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, man. War Eagle.
War Eagle.
Everybody just gets War Eagles. And how about a roll that every now and then?
No.
Hey, callers, by the way, when you call in, 866-485-9867, be sure to leave off with your battle cry. Lead off. Just go ahead and start by saying, first of all, two questions. First, Roll Tide. Second, your actual question. So that's an interesting thing we can get into at some point today, but no segue responded. By the way, very articulately in a very smart and well-thought-out way. You know, some people just sort of react in the moment, but like he sort of reacted like, you know, like an Auburn man, but like someone who's protective of his school and his program.
Yeah, we can spend some time on it. He's not the only one that that responded.
Well, the one that I saw that was because I think he did his notepad. I know how much you love
how much battery power did he
read? No, I don't remember that, but sure, we can find it real quick.
I'm always interested in what service people are using. He lives in Chicago, so I don't know what the like go-to service is there. If it's Verizon or Sprint PCS Wireless or PCS Metro, whatever. I don't know.
Metro PCS.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
We will get to a break, come back with the early morning audible.
What was the Obama phone?
Next. Welcome back in, Cube Show, Sports Radio 730 and 103.9. The ump, Barrett Salee, will be with us in 10 minutes. Every morning we like to sort of let you know how sports sounded the night before or over the weekend. It's the Cube Show Early Morning Audible.
Time for the Cube Show Early Morning Audible.
Chubb's going to town! Touchdown, I think, yeah! Chubby time, baby! Grandma, get out the rye bread and mustard! It is grand salami time!
He's at the 50, the 40, the 35!
Yes!
He will score!
Yeah, yeah!
Yes, sir, Cole Kowalczyk. Last night on the old gridiron, the Tennessee Titans winners 36-22 over the Indianapolis Colts. Big win for your Tennessee Titans for a lot of reasons. One, they get over that nasty streak that Cole does not care about, which is quite literally the Titans had not beaten Indianapolis since Halloween weekend of 2011. That streak is over! Also go to 3-3, 2-1 at home, and in a tie for first place of the AFC South, which is the division that everyone thought that they would be able to win, and you and I, Cole, both predicted them to be able to win. So now we're looking good, and it kind of started with DeMarco Murray getting his touchdown on.
Fowler at fullback. Murray at tailback.
By the way, you guys know who Fowler is? Nudie Joustin Fowler.
Fowler at fullback.
Bama.
Fowler at fullback. Murray at tailback. Give Murray right up the middle. Yes, sir. Touchdown, Titans.
Yeah, that got the touchdown streak start. That's in the fourth quarter. The Titans have scored three touchdowns in that fourth quarter, including the one that would ice this game away. Hit it, Mike Keith. Sally Harder right here on the ump.
Give it to Henry, running to the left. He turns the corner. He's got the first down. Henry down the sidelines. 40, 50, 40, 30, 20, 10, 5, end zone. Touchdown, Titans. Derrick Henry, 72 yards for the exclamation point. Streak over. Jubilation.
Nissan Stadium.
Yeah, it almost sounded like he was commanding the stadium to be jubilation. But it was good. Most good for the Titans. Of course, they win that one 36-22. Not kidding, Cole. 9 field goals to the first three quarters.
Ooh.
9 total field goals. Ryan Succop was 5 of 5, which was good. It looked like the Tennessee Titans were going to be stuck in field goal land, which is the football equivalent of the friend zone for a long time in that game. And they were for the first three quarters. But 3 touchdowns. They burst through. Get over the fact that Marcus Mariota threw a pick 6 earlier in that game. Was 6 of 6 in the fourth quarter in a touchdown, which means Marcus, the flying Hawaiian. Ain't no denying he's electrifying.
What?
That's right. He is back.
Did you write that?
Look, I'm a rapper, man. Come on, I'm an artiste. Interesting history happened last night. You probably didn't know this. Besides the streak being over, an interesting footnote. By the way, a reminder that all Titans home games and road games and all playoff games and every game of the Titans is right here on the Ump. Interesting history that I did not know happened a little earlier in this game.
Mariota motion Supernaw to the right. Now back to the left. Now back to the right.
Is that not the greatest name in the world, by the way?
Supernaw?
Not a regular Naw. A Supernaw.
Mariota motion Supernaw to the right.
Ah,
now
nah.
Back to the
Hell
left.
Nah.
Now back to the right. Mariota long count. He sneaks. He's got it. That is believed to be.
Now, what do you think is the history that got made there? This is the first time something has happened. That is believed to be what Marcus Mariota just did. Something the first time it's ever happened.
Handed it to Nah?
Well, he snuck it there, so.
Oh.
Interesting note that I never knew, and I'm not sure how this comes up.
He sneaks. He's got it. That is believed to be, by head coach Mike Mularkey, the first quarterback sneak that Marcus Mariota has ever run at any level.
I love that we are quoting stats of believed to be.
What? First of all, how is that possible?
Good
Second,
job, Chip Kelly.
Who's charting this? They chart everything in the NFL and in sports. That's at any level, first time. Didn't even do it in Pee Wee. Hey, Marcus Mariota, that's pretty nice to win that game, wasn't it?
I was happy to get the green light. And again, it just comes down to everyone just went out there and executed, and we were able to make the plays that were needed to win.
Sure did. Also, a little help wearing down the old Indy Colts, huh, with them big backs.
Converting on third down, I think that's probably most important. And again, I think the guys did a great job up front of just giving time. Receivers made some great catches, and when you're able to build a rhythm like that as an offense and go down and score, it really kind of you can lean on a defense after that. They get tired, they get a little worn out, and I think that's what we were able to accomplish.
I want to hear from the head coach Mike Mularkey. You're hitting an awful lot of field goals. Did you ever know the touchdowns were going to show up?
I felt like our offense was moving the ball well. We didn't punt in the first half. You got to score. I mean, you lose a game like that, you're going to regret not scoring on some of those early drives. But there's a lot of football to go, and we talked about it at halftime. We got to just finish drives. That was a key. And really, talked about it at halftime, our defense needed to make some stops early. And they both played out like we talked about.
Sure did, Mike Mularkey. By the way, Mike Mularkey's show is tonight at 6 o'clock right here on DeUmp. Hey, I want to mention a couple other quick NFL notes. One, I like to just say screw you to Navarro Bowman, who ended up signing with the Raiders yesterday and not the Cowboys. But here is him choosing Oakland.
I'm excited to be here, man. The tradition here, how hard we play, the identity that guys try to bring every single Sunday, man. Why wouldn't you want to be a part of it?
Did you get to be a part of the Cowboys and win a Super Bowl there? But whatever. Whatever. Hey, Mike McCarthy, he needs a quarterback. He was asked about Colin Kaepernick. I bet this goes well.
Any idea of bringing Colin Kaepernick in for that backup job?
Did you just listen to that question I just answered? Okay, I got 3 years invested in Brett Hundley, 2 years invested in Joe Callahan. The quarterback room is exactly where it needs to be, okay? We're fortunate to have a great quarterback in Aaron Rodgers. We're committed to the path that we're on. We need to play better as a football team. And Brett Hundley, he'll be starting this week, and Joe Callahan will be the backup.
Mm. A little testy there, huh? A little testy, yeah. Mike McCarthy.
Well, he did answer the question.
Don't bring it up! Finally, Cole, you're...
But you know what? I see the frustration, though, because it's like I just addressed who my starter's going to be, and you're trying to bait me into something that's going to make headlines. And that's kind of the way I would have perceived it as well. That has no bearing on what I just told you. I told you we have a starter, we have a backup, we feel good about it, we're moving forward.
He also just asked if there had been any thought to bringing in him. He's like,
I guess he could have just said no, none.
Martavis Bryant, you know who that guy is? Soon to be former Pittsburgh Steeler. Talked about the trade request reports that we heard over the weekend, including like right after the game. A win, by the way.
No, I'm good, man. I'm good to go. Just gonna play ball, play this year out strong, finish strong, and move on forward. Enjoy what I'm doing here. Focus on now. And I'm in Pittsburgh. I'm playing here, so that's all I can focus on.
He's in Pittsburgh, and that's all I can focus on. I like the fact that, hey, what about these trade request reports? Are you wanting out of Pittsburgh?
No, I'm good, man.
Okay. No, I'm good. Fair enough. No, I'm good. Now, he didn't say super no, but he just said no.
We will take a break when we come back.
Super no, I'm good.
Barrett Salee will join us to talk SEC football. Can Tennessee be competitive with Alabama? Barrett answers that question next.
WUMP Sports Radio. The Op.
Drop-off sites, head on over to our website at rocketcitynow.com. In the WCBX newsroom, I'm Jen Jacobson reporting. Make it a great day.
Another beautiful fall day today. The sky's sunny, the high 73. Clear tonight, very cool, the low at 44. Tomorrow, a good supply of sunshine, the high 76. And for Thursday and Friday, the sky will stay sunny both days, highs ranging from 76 to 79 degrees. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Cube Show, Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump. Barrett Salee of CBS with us now, covers college football. Follow him on Twitter at Barrett Salee. Good morning, Barrett. How you doing?
Good, Cole. How are you?
Doing well. Your thoughts of Butch Jones' future in Knoxville after the loss to South Carolina Saturday?
Well, I mean, it's over. It's just a matter of when. I'm surprised he's still their head coach. I would have done it after they lost to Georgia because of a lot of reasons, but mostly because you need to, start planning for the future and start planning contingency plans for a pretty intense coaching, silly season that's going to take place before the early national signing period. So, his future in Knoxville is set in stone no matter what happens. I think the one thing that Tennessee is not realizing, and I don't think any AD wants to be this guinea pig, is I think there's this sense out there that they want to try to preserve the recruiting class by keeping them around. Well, that's not going to happen. Like that's a very, I think, short-sighted and wrong way to approach this as an administrator. But that's what all these ADs who have decisions to make are thinking. That's their mindset. And I think it's what you're going to find is that in the future, in years to come, you're going to have a lot more midseason firings because the right way to go about it is to let go of a coach midseason, start developing contingency plans, and if that means you let an interim coach take a beating in Tuscaloosa, fine. That's actually a good thing because then there's no aspiration for that guy keeping the job long term.
You look at this matchup coming up this weekend. I'm okay with getting rid of a guy midseason. I understand it, but I'm not sure I would have done it before this game. Do you think Tennessee can find a way to be competitive with Alabama? If so, how?
No. I mean, the only way Tennessee can be competitive with Alabama is if Alabama does not show up on the bus. And there's a bunch of walk-ons out there. And even Alabama's walk-ons that they try to get from the stadium might be more competitive against Tennessee than people realize. Tennessee's a bad football team. They don't have an offensive identity. Their defense is just sort of okay. They're broken. They are poorly coached. They haven't scored a touchdown from inside the 5-yard line since the first quarter of the second game of the season. And John Kelly has been on the roster every single one of those weeks since then. I mean, it's baffling how poorly coached a team is. So, no, they don't stand much of a chance. I think the question is going to be, how bad does Nick Saban want to hurt? And does Nick Saban care about covering the spread? Because those are going to be the two questions that pop up earlier rather than that game.
kind of strange because I'm going back right now and looking at some of the numbers, and the middle of this series between Saban and Jones was actually somewhat competitive. I mean, 34-20 in 14. Alabama only outrushes Tennessee 183-181. In 15, the score's 19-14, Alabama wins. And Tennessee actually outrushes Alabama 132-117. It's just the two bookends were disgusting, 45-10 and 49-10.
Yeah, and 2 years ago in Tuscaloosa, Tennessee dang near won the football game. I mean, that was they did everything they could to win that football game. And you know, went on a touchdown drive 5 minutes to go, and they looked good. And that was when everybody thought, including myself, that Tennessee was on the right track, that this whole brick-by-brick thing was working. And then it just didn't. Yeah, I mean, it's remarkable how quickly things have changed. And I think what that goes to show you is that, you know, Butch Jones doesn't know how to sustain a program. Nick Saban does. And when Tennessee was at best under Jones, which is a relative term, but when they were, they had really good players who felt like they were a part of something. Like they bought into the rebirth of Tennessee football. But I think what you've got now is a situation where you've got some pretty decent players in the, with the ones who kind of feel entitled. They kind of feel like they should go out there and win because they've got an orange tee on their helmet. And hand them, you don't have any. So it's regressed rather quickly for sure.
LSU battles back from being down 20 at home against Auburn. How did your impressions of this Auburn team and this Auburn coaching staff change after watching that game unfold?
The impression of the team doesn't change. I still think Auburn's, you know, its ceiling is still pretty darn high. I still think that the team itself is capable of winning the West. If it doesn't, it's because of the coaching staff. And that's why I think the floor, you look at the schedule, it could be 7-5, and in which case you're making a coaching change. Because twice now, Gus Malzahn has coached not to lose rather than coaching to win, and it's cost him games. And you and I have talked, though. So I'm a firm believer that most of the time, teams don't win games, teams lose games. And Auburn lost this year because of its coaching staff. And Gus Malzahn might say, you know, he didn't call those plays. Whether he called those plays or not, he still dictates the philosophy. And the philosophy was ultra-conservative from about the midway point of the second quarter on. And you can do that against teams that, you know, are not as talented as you, like Ole Miss. Same thing happened. When you're doing that against a team that is as talented or more talented athletically than you, you run the risk of what happened Saturday to happen. And that's on Gus Malzahn. And, you know, it's in a situation like that, you've got to go for the kill shot. You've got to put it out of reach, and they flat out refuse to even try. And that's what should, you know, anger Auburn fans the most, is that you had it. It was there for you. You had it twice this year with Clemson and LSU. You've got a national championship caliber team, and your coaching staff letting you down, and that should be unacceptable.
How different do you feel about Ed Orgeron today than you did maybe 3 weeks ago?
I feel like I thought I was going to feel about him all year, to be honest with you. I thought that he was going to let his coordinators coordinate all year. And for the first five games or so, he didn't. And now, because of a lot of pressure, he's actually kind of stepped back and let Matt Canada do his thing. And as a result, you've got an offense that has a little bit of an identity now. Danny Etling has now developed confidence. And then on the flip side, defensively, I think they were young on defense, and I think it showed early. And you've seen a maturation process take place with a bunch of guys who are playing smart football and sticking to their assignment. And aside from a couple of bad penalties, Martin Key against Florida and Auburn, you've got something that's going to work at LSU. So my impressions of Ed Orgeron are that he's getting it. It took a little while longer, and it was, I think, disappointing because it didn't come earlier. But he's figured out that being coordinator dependent is okay if you've got good coordinators. It does.
Who's the third best team in the SEC?
Right now, I'd say LSU. I would say, or maybe Texas A&M. Overall, because of the way they've played all year, I'd still say Auburn. But and I think they have that kind of upside, because, but the coaching is letting them down. So I think it depends on what you're meaning. If say right now, I think it's LSU or Texas A&M. Probably Texas A&M. But if, you know, overall, who has, you know, the best chance to get in and this thing and make some noise still, I'd still say it's Auburn if their coaching doesn't let them down the way it has in their two losses.
Are you buying into, we talked about this yesterday, Barrett Salee with us of CBS Sports. Follow him on Twitter at Barrett Salee. I think this Auburn-Texas A&M game is a swing game for the season, potentially for Gus Malzahn's career. Would you be in agreement with that?
Yeah, because if they win that game and have confidence and go into Georgia and Alabama with a chance to win the West, which they still would have, then yeah, they got to win that game. If they lose that game, then I think and lose to Georgia and Alabama, you're looking at 7-5. So I think there's a lot of movement right now in Auburn to develop plans if things go south, because it does look like that's a legitimate possibility. And the Texas A&M game does sort of hint that Arkansas is not going to be an issue. Texas A&M, the way they play offensively, with the confidence they're gaining, that could be a problem. So, yeah, in a couple of weeks, I would say that A&M game is the biggest of Gus Malzahn's career, and it will absolutely dictate which direction really both teams and both coaching staffs could be going.
If you had to project out right now, how many current SEC coaches, we'll leave out Matt Luke, we'll say we'll extract him from this list. How many other current SEC coaches are not at their schools when we kick off next season?
Let's see, Butch Jones, Barry Odom, and I'm going to say either Gus Malzahn or Brett Bielema will not be there. And it wouldn't surprise me, it wouldn't surprise me if Kevin Sumlin coaches his way into an offer and finds a golden parachute. It just may not be as great of a school as Texas A&M, but I know he's not happy with how things have gone at Texas A&M, so I think he may be looking for an out, because, I mean, they're not going to extend him, but they may retain him. But if they don't extend him, he may look to capitalize when he's had a team that's had a lot of success when everyone thought it was down.
Wow. Great stuff, Barrett. Always appreciate the time. Look forward to catching up next week.
All right, that's cool.
Barrett Salee, lead SEC writer for CBS Sports, at Barrett Salee via Twitter, also on ESPN Radio Sirius XM, ESPNU Radio. There are a couple coaches that I've begun to hear rumors in the SEC that they want out. Now, they're not just going to walk. There's going to have to be another offer on the table. And obviously, I don't think they'd mind if they got fired, because they're going to get that buyout. But
do you mean get out while getting good? Get a good job, like a Nebraska.
Yeah,
or a
decent job.
Yeah.
You know, maybe even an Oregon State, something like that. I mean, there's two or three guys that I've heard. And see, my impression of that is your reputation is going to take a hit, because you're just bailing and you're admitting that you can't win in the SEC.
We aren't used to seeing guys wanting out of the conference.
I think that's kind of why it feels a little bit weird, because there's so many guys that want to get in. Maybe they just want the paychecks, and then once they get the paychecks, they realize it's a lot of money, guys, but maybe it's not worth everything that comes with it. Back with more Cube Show and Bo Mattingly talking Arkansas next.